I'm having trouble.
With what?
I don't know how to open the show this week.
What are your classic openings?
Well, the classic openings are, you know, we say something and then we reverse it and make
flip
one of
it
us
and reverse it.
Right. We haven't done a singing opening yet.
The world is not ready for that.
The world is always ready.
The world is not ready for that.
Oh, yes, they are. No.
I apologize.
Nope, that's not going to work. We could just make strange noises.
It always turns into a monkey.
That's normal for you.
Yes.
We could...
Dance, dance, dance.
No.
I was just gulping my coffee down. I don't know what you were doing. I was not trying to make a dance song. You were like...
What? No. What always works for like the openings? There's always something good. Usually we have something to make fun of or something in the world. I mean, it is Earth Day.
What are you doing for Earth Day?
I don't know.
I might take a hike.
Enjoy the outdoors?
Yeah, go with the dog somewhere and pick up his remainders so as not to pollute the
earth.
Yes.
I think I'm going to sit on the couch, watch some TV, turn on all the lights, you know, open the computer, get the tablet running with the cell phone.
You are a terrible earthling.
This is a terrible opening.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number
47.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another fun and exciting, thrilling, massive, normal episode of...
Greetings, Earth creatures.
...of Jamie's Visions of the Universe.
Today...
On Tech Bacon, because that's what you're listening to. Welcome to Tech Bacon. I'm Scott.
I'm Jamie.
And this week was another... Actually, this week was not really a crazy week in technology.
In fact, it was... I would call it sane, or maybe like so sane it was boring.
It was slow. It was a slow news week, I would say, in general. Mm-hmm. But there were some things.
Well, it's more like black bacon this week.
It is not black bacon. We don't say that. We're always entertaining.
Drek bacon.
There you go. Shrek bacon.
Shrek bacon. Gross.
Ew, weird donkey bacon.
Donkey bacon.
No, ew. I don't like where this is going. All right, we're gonna move right into.
You would eat donkey bacon though.
No, no.
You would try it.
Maybe I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably would. I don't know if I would. Would you?
Not if I knew it was donkey.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I don't think I could do it.
Would you eat horse meat?
Probably not. No.
What if it was a survival situation?
Yes, I would if it was a survival situation. I don't think there's much I wouldn't eat. And we're not getting into that conversation.
Would you eat?
This is not...
Have you ever seen the movie Alive?
This is not Alive, Jamie. So, speaking of Alive, that was based on a book, was it not? And a play?
Yes, and a real-life incident.
No, I yes. A real life incident that there was a book written about, mm-hmm, and a play and a movie. And you could read that book on the new Barnes & Noble e-reader that came out recently, which is a little revision. What they did was they redid their Nook.
Revolutionary design. It has a gray border now.
Yeah, they changed it up so much.
No, but they did do something pretty cool.
Pretty amazing, actually, I think.
Yeah.
They added integrated lighting to it. And Sony kind of has done that before, but like around the edges, they were like LED lights that shined on the front of the screen. Mm-hmm. This doesn't seem to be that. They seem to be... I don't know exactly how the technology works. I haven't been able to tell, but it's just this...
You didn't use your X-ray vision?
No. I have X-ray vision?
Yes.
I forget. God. I don't know why I keep forgetting that. It's changing my whole life. But you just like slide a slider and it just glows. I mean, that's what it looks like when you watch the video, right?
Yeah, it lights up the screen. It makes it look like it's glowing.
Yeah, and what's nice is, like, in the typical e-readers,
it'd be awesome at a rave.
You just hold it up and, like, wave it around. See, that was you.
I'm still drinking coffee. What are you talking about?
I think this is, I mean, it's a little more expensive. It's $139, and I think the regular Nook Touch is $99, $100, something like that. But but I feel this would be well worth it. Like, would you spend the extra money for something like that?
If it was on a Kindle.
Well, it seems like, I mean, there's been rumors for a while that Amazon was going to be coming out with a Kindle that had similar technology. But it looks like, you know, Barnes & Noble beat them to the punch, which is pretty impressive.
When's the last time you were in a Barnes & Noble?
Well, there's that one.
Oh, no, at the Grove?
By the Landmark Theater.
Oh.
That's a lot. There's one by one of the movie theaters, so if we have time to kill, we walk in there. But they, you know, have you been in one recently at all?
Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird.
Because it's all, like, they sort of have removed an entire floor of books, and now it's like
a showroom.
They're e-readers and toys.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's weird. And it makes me feel a little upset.
Yeah. But, I mean, good for them that they've kind of transitioned and stayed in business.
Yeah, you know, like, sure.
But, yeah, it's strange. It is strange. And they have people demoing the Nooks.
Yeah.
And you can, like, get your hands on it and stuff like that. I think, I mean, this, to me, is pretty awesome. I think all the e-readers are going to be this way.
I don't like reading on an iPad because the light is, you're looking at the source of light itself.
Right. It's shining into your eyes.
My Kindle, like, I, you know, someone gave me one of those sort of clip-on nightlight things,
like
for
you would do for a regular book, you know,
like everyone's mom had in 1989.
Yeah, I remember they were like bookmarks slash little, like, exactly, curved lights.
And I don't really like that either. This seems like
great solution.
Yeah, a great solution.
I mean, and it didn't look,
kind of looks like the remember those little those toys, the glow worms for babies?
Oh yeah.
That's what the light looks like.
It totally does. It doesn't seem like a really bright, like, harsh light. It just is this soft, warm glow. Mm-hmm. So they're calling it the glow light. Maybe it's the same people that invented the glow worm.
Perhaps.
I mean, what are they doing these days?
I don't know. It also, the light itself is the color of light in, like, the Alien movies or Independence Day.
That, like, bluish.
The greenish, bluish.
Yeah. That's exactly what totally what it looked like. So it's available now. You know, you can get it from Barnes & Noble, $139. I guarantee. We're going to see an Amazon version of something like that very soon.
Pretty soon.
Like, real soon, getting ready for the going back to school.
Right.
Date. That is my prediction, is when you're going to see that come out.
Huh.
Which is soon, to be honest. Even though school just ended, you know, we're only, in the tech world, it's only a few months away for back to school gear to start going on sale.
Correct.
So that was, you know, that was one of the slower items in the news week. this next thing actually is pretty interesting, and it's been rumored for a while. So the rumor has been that Google is coming out with a shared online drive storage system similar to Dropbox. Do you use Dropbox?
Sometimes. I use YouSendIt a lot.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Similar, except, like, Dropbox, you don't necessarily always, you're not always using it to send files.
Right.
Like, and what I like about Dropbox is that you can have shared folders with other people that have Dropbox accounts.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if you and I were in a business together, we could just have a shared folder, and anything we put in it, both of us can see.
Right.
Which is neat. And you don't have to, it just downloads automatically in the background. You can get it on your phone.
Right.
You can get it on your tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And I use Dropbox quite a lot, actually. And it's nice. And one of the best features about it is that you get just a folder on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put it in there, it uploads. Like, you don't have to open a web browser and go to a folder and drag it in or anything like that. So anyway, Google is coming out with a competitor, supposedly called Google Drive. And stars Ryan Gosling. And
I was just about to make that joke.
I saw the wheels turning in your head.
When you click on it, there's just like a droning synthesizer for 5 minutes.
Real hero. That college song starts playing every time you click on it.
did you see that that parody of the movie Drive that was going around a couple months ago where they took like an external hard drive no. and put the Scorpion jacket on it?
No.
And use the music. It's really funny.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. I'll have to find that.
Yeah, it's good.
I'll put a link to it. We'll find it. We'll put a link to it on the webpage. So there's been rumors about this Google Drive for a while. You know, people saying it's going to give you 5 gigs of storage when like Dropbox and stuff gives you 2.
Yeah.
Or 2 or 3 to start off with. So, you know, they're going to be really competitive and it's be free. If you have a Gmail account, you'll just get the Google Drive.
Yeah.
So apparently the biggest thing this week is that it kind of was spotted in the wild. And and this monkey was just dragging it down the street.
The Google Drive in the wild.
And some and some pictures surfaced that, you know, seem to be some Google employees that have it installed. And if you see these pictures online, it has this drive icon that kind of looks like a recycling icon.
Yeah.
Without the arrows. Am I describing it right?
Well, the picture is extremely pixelated, so I don't know. It looks like a triangle to me, but I could see that.
But like, it's like a triangle, but these are, you know, straight lines on the sides and on the top, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like to me, it just like if you put arrows all around the corners, it would look like a recycling icon.
Yeah, I can see that.
So it looks like it seems that this thing is imminent, that it is going to be launching very soon. Like also some installers popped up online that people were able to download and install on their Mac. Didn't do anything, but like the installer.
If you're thinking about buying shares in Google, are they? They're a public company, right?
Yes, they are.
Maybe now's the time to do it before this comes out because the price will. This could jump the stock.
Totally will. Yeah, I
can
see that. So odds are when this comes out, it's going to be the same thing. It's like Dropbox. What I wonder is if they're going to come out with an iOS version or if they're going to only be Android at first. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm curious. Like, I could see Google doing it. I don't think they should, but I can see them doing that.
Yeah, but won't it also just be available on your web browser?
Yeah, it will be available on the web browser. So you'll have...
Then, I mean, like, what documents are you creating on your phone?
Well, I don't think it's about the... Like, what I use it on my phone for... Like, and actually, like, I use Dropbox a lot.
Use it on your phone?
I do. And what I'll do is, like, if I have a PDF or something...
Yeah.
And I'm on my computer, I'll just throw it in the Dropbox, and then I have it with me...
Right.
When I leave.
I've
done it for concert tickets. I've done it for other things. So, to me, that's the advantage. I don't use it as much from the phone back, but I use it, like...
Yeah.
From the computer, from the desktop to the phone.
I see.
In my day-to-day comings and goings.
Right.
So I'm curious if this, you know, this, and apparently you're going to be able to buy a new story. This is all speculation. Nobody's seen it, you know, except for something like this.
Right.
Curious to see.
Curiosity killed the Android.
Beep, boop, 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 boop.
Man,
Google Drive, or if they call it G Drive, it just says Drive on that picture that has leaked, right?
I think G Drive is too weird to say.
Yeah, Drive, a Google Drive,
G Drive.
It's going to be. I feel all of a sudden at the top of your Google screen is just going to be another one of those tabs that they have now, and just says Drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, I have to say I've seen a huge increase in the number of people that use Google Docs over using Office.
Just really?
in the past year.
In the way that they're sharing it with other people, like that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, just creating all the documents on Google instead of even using Office, you know?
Interesting. Yeah, you know, Microsoft's been trying to really get into that game because most people don't even know. There's an online Microsoft Word and Excel and everything now.
Yeah.
For free.
Oh, really?
Yeah. just like Google Docs, but nobody really knows about it. And what's amazing, it's
do you have to sign up for Microsoft account?
You have to have a not even mail account, but you have to have a live.com sign in, which is their new thing.
Okay.
And when Windows 8 comes out, you're going to have to do that too. So
it's having it linked to your Gmail account is what
exactly
makes it easier.
Right, because it's just there.
Yeah.
But like Microsoft, I wish the Microsoft thing could take off, because one of the coolest parts of it is you could create a document on your desktop in Word and just say save to your online.
Right.
As opposed to save to your computer.
Yeah.
And like you can open it from Word from your online account. It's like completely integrated.
Wow.
And then you could work it on it online. Like they've done a really neat thing, but nobody's using it. Like I don't know one person, like I don't know anybody that even really knows about it. Like when I tell people that, everyone's like, what?
Speaking of Microsoft, they patented something really neat the other day.
They did. That was a good, let's go. Good segue, Junior. So, good segue.
When someone patents something, they have to apply for the patent at the office.
There's a lot of
people. And as soon as it happens, people
find out.
People find out. Yeah. And so this was just something that was, the patent was just released the other day. Basically, it uses the Kinect technology to create 3D sound.
So, like, explain so what
you,
normally
okay,
happens.
Okay, so normally if you have a surround sound system, you have 8 speakers if you have a really nice one, but you still have to sit at the focal point of all of those 8 speakers. So you have to sit in the center of your couch or however
your speakers are arranged,
set up. Well, this uses the Kinect technology to detect where you are in the room. And somehow gives you perfect sound wherever you are in the room, surround sound.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
I mean,
it's cool.
It makes sense that they're using Kinect for that, because like Kinect can detect multiple people and multiple mm-hmm. movements.
Yeah.
Like 4 or 5, I think, when you're playing a game. So it seems like they're like I have, and we're sitting in my place right now. I have this sound bar for my mm-hmm. television, and it's, it creates a 3D effect.
Yeah.
When you're sitting in the room, and it's really impressive how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're combining that technology with the Kinect, like knowing where someone is, to kind of redirect the sound into those positions.
Yeah.
Like that's fascinating to me.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
I mean, they're really, Microsoft really with this Kinect stuff, I think is really pushing into the home entertainment aspect as opposed to gaming really hard. They're pushing really hard, Jamie.
Yeah. I actually think that is the most exciting stuff that Microsoft is doing right now. There's nothing I can see like.
Yeah, I agree with
that. The sort of possibilities are endless with it. And you've seen it time and time again with what, you know, open source people have done with it.
Yeah.
Just really neat things. And for the most part, stuff just kind of goofing around. But like, it's one of these things that could have applications in the medical world. In the, you know, it's just really, there's something there that people are really pursuing. And
yeah.
I think there's a big future in that stuff.
That's why Microsoft bought them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it wasn't developed in-house by Microsoft. They bought the technology.
Right.
And like I read the other day that there's a rumor that Skype is going to start to be integrated into the Xbox using the Kinect console.
Huh.
So like the concept of sitting on your couch and it's not new, like some TVs have it built in and things like that, but
you could play Kinect 4 while looking at your sister
on a Kinect.
Pretty sneaky, sis. But you know, I mean, like it would be like you're staring across the table. The game's in front of you. You could, you know, move the chips.
That's true.
I wonder if anyone's invented that yet.
Ooh, I'm curious. Curious, because like
me to Mattel.
Every time I like Skype with my nephew and my sister, my nephew likes to look at himself.
Yeah,
and like when he's in so I see like, you know, his eyes and the top of his head.
Right,
because he gets really close. But like if you're sitting and if something like this, they would just be sitting on the couch.
Right.
You know, and you could, I don't know, it would feel more connected.
Yes.
As I did air quotes for, you know,
Air quotes.
All you listeners out there.
Well, I'm going to play air guitar because that's cooler.
Do it, Jamie. What are you playing?
It's a song called Air Quotes.
look for it on your local radio station.
Look for it on your local radio station.
Yeah.
Cutting edge of technology, Scott Gold.
I can see radio waves. That's the newest tech that's coming out. And the ability, Microsoft is coming out with new technology to the ability to see the radio. It's called a television.
Radio waves.
Oh. All right. Couple other, actually, since we're talking about music, there's another technology music thing that was announced. So there's the group Anonymous that is, you know, the hacker group out there that, you know, I'm sure everybody has read about. They are an anonymous group of people that will take down government websites and take down music industry sites and, you know, things like all of that. A bunch of the coders got together and created this new music service.
We would like to introduce this new music service.
They did do a video.
Did like, they like that?
I haven't watched it, but I'm assuming probably.
Where we amalgamate all uses of music across the internet. We are a non-tune.
That's really good. And we didn't do anything. That was Jamie by himself, just right into the microphone. I'm just saying. So the concept of this service is...
Put the lotion in the basket.
We're not going there. It's like an aggregator, basically. Like, they scour all the online music sites and have a search engine that can search by artist and title, and you can just bring up music and play it all in one place. Pretty interesting. You know, like they were quoted as saying, people really use YouTube as a music player, which you and I were talking about.
It's the most used, used more than any other music site or app or anything
for online music.
Yeah,
for streaming music. But they say it's too unorganized, and YouTube does make a good music player, but you can't play all your songs on it since the obscure ones aren't uploaded. Then eventually, what if you were to combine music sites like MySpace, Yahoo, YouTube, and others?
All SoundCloud, Bandcamp, blah 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 blah, all of them,
everything, yeah. and your own music that you could upload from your playlist from your iPod. Like, they have that feature built in too. So basically, you take the stuff you own, the stuff that's streaming, and have it all be in one place, similar to a Spotify thing, except that it's grabbing from all around the free sources of the web.
Yeah.
I feel like the music industry is not going to like this. you know what I mean? Don't you think?
Yeah, but if they're just... I mean, yes, of course they're not going to like it. They don't like anything. But if it's really just collecting all the music is, where all the music is, it's not like... From what it looks like now, it's basically a search engine.
Right.
I don't see how... It's not like you can go on there like you can go on iTunes or any... music blog or Spotify or Ardio or Pandora and really like get recommendations.
No, it doesn't look like that.
It just looks like you have to know what you're looking for.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, I think it's different. It's a different thing. It's just a place to have everything in one place. But it doesn't look like it's terribly helpful if you don't know what you're looking for.
Well, I mean, I think like for someone who sits on YouTube all day, And just looks up music, mm-hmm. I think something like this, they would much rather do that, you know?
Yeah.
Because it looks like on here, like...
Man, what a boring life that person has.
I know, seriously. but we loaded up thing, like, you look on here, it's a very basic interface. I mean, it almost looks like out of 1997 or
it looks like
eight or
something off of, like, the...
Looks like old Rhapsody, like Real Player. Remember
you know
Real
what
Player?
It looks like? Yeah, it does look like Real Player. It looks like a screen grab from the movie The Net.
Yeah, it looks very like, dated.
Like, but this like thing, almost like like AOL from 1997.
Well, I think, you know, I'm assuming they haven't spent any time really on the graphic user interface, and it's all the backbone, which is the impressive stuff. I don't know. There's a quote at the bottom that said, "He is speed and I am balance," and I'm not sure what that means. It's very weird. But, you know, it worked really well. Jamie and I searched for a couple of things. You know, yeah. The songs came up. You can create playlists. Like, there's a playlist area, so you can, you know, cull your music and create a playlist and look up song title and artist and sort by different ways. But it's a super basic, super beta service. How's it pronounced?
I mean, are they
non-tune?
A non-tune, like anonymous tune.
Right.
the interface actually looks like maybe they're designing it for smartphones.
Oh, I wonder.
Because it's very simple.
Well, think about that. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
To have a free service like that. Like, because Spotify and Moog and all those you have to buy to use the mobile device.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you could just pull this up on your web browser on your phone and access all this content, kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
But already I noticed, like, Universal Music was blocking some of the stuff that you try to play on it.
Well, it looked like it was just the whole YouTube thing, where if you are trying to play it
on an unsupported device
or off of the YouTube site itself, they won't let you play it.
Oh, just in general.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that right. I come across that sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And, like, if you want to go on and just check it out without signing up an account, you can do a demo, and they have, like, top 100 of pop
and electronics. Can we just say, you know, and I don't want to get targeted by anonymous here, but if you sign up for this thing, don't use a normal password that you use.
I would, you know, in general, I would say for now, just to be cautious, you know, it's a really new site. It's really beta. Although these, I will say this. Anonymous, they are very, very like was aware of the users. Like, they're an advocate for the users, so I don't think they would do anything. But you're putting your password onto a site for people you don't know, and a company you don't know who these guys are. We don't mm-hmm. know, nobody knows who they are. So just be cautious. Be cautious how you sign up for. But you know, I would check it out. It's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I signed up for an account just to see what it was like. And I guarantee over the next, you know, couple months, this thing is going to evolve significantly. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to evolve. And, you know, who knows? If this thing is successful for these guys, they may develop an app.
Yeah.
And you may be able to put the app on your phone and on your tablet. And
right.
I mean, it could be this almost... And they could... If this thing keeps evolving, they could put in social sharing and all these things, and all of a sudden you have like a free alternative to,
right.
to a Spotify or you know, any of those other services.
Right.
You know, this thing is really early in development, so who knows where it's going to go? We shall see, sir.
It could go everywhere.
So that's that. And then
to the recording industry of America, we have taken over the internet.
You know, you should get paid for doing that voice. That's really good. Like, you don't need all the technology. You don't have to change it. It's just that. It just garbled automatically. It's very impressive. So lastly, on the tech front, Facebook released a new Android app, version 1.9.
You scared me there for a second. Facebook released a new Android. What?
He's just walking around now, making friends
everyone,
with people.
Everyone gets their own Android based on their Facebook information.
That's scary.
They will go interact with each other, and you can sit in the comfort of your home while your Android has coffee with someone from high school.
Wow. I like it. The Facebook Android coming this spring. Oh, that's scary. And I hope we're not predicting the future. Because that would be really weird. But they released...
People are just constantly... The Androids are just constantly giving thumbs up. Like.
They walk around, like. Will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? Friend request. That'd be funny.
And then they all turn into Chucky.
I don't know.
That was Psycho. That was a truck backing up. That was not Psycho. Psycho on a truck
coming this spring from director Michael Bay.
No, that would be producer Michael Bay.
Right. I'm sorry. Michael Bay. I forgot. So Facebook for Android version 1.9 came out, just, you know, bug fixes and whatnot. But one of the biggest things was there is now a photo app that gets installed with it. And at first I thought, it was like, oh, this is kind of dumb. You know, it was like, why don't you just take a picture with your camera app and then share it? But the really nice feature about it, so you click on the camera app, which now shows up in your applications. And as soon as you take the picture, it asks, do you want to tag it? And then it brings up a window. You can type in someone's name and tap anywhere on the picture and tag your Facebook friends in the photo and then hit OK and it uploads it to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Really convenient. You saw it work.
Mm-hmm. You know, it looked pretty, I took a picture of my junk and tagged you in it.
It has been since removed. And
what? My junk? Like the stuff in the backyard that I need to get rid of.
So... and also you can choose just pictures from your gallery or anything like that and then tag them automatically, which was pretty nice. And there's also some updates to the messaging app in there, where you can add people to groups and, you know, basically, some of the features, like some of the stuff that's already in that Facebook Messenger that came out, you know, for iOS and
yeah,
so they added some of those features directly into the regular Facebook app. Which, to me, they should just put all of those features into the Facebook
right.
app.
Yeah.
I don't, the whole separating of that, I'm kind of weird. So, pretty neat. Download it if you're on Android. It works pretty well. And
download it if you are an Android.
Only if you are an Android. Actually, you don't have to. If you're an Android, it's built into your eyeball. And then you don't have to download it. Actually, you are just always
literally
downloading
a Facebook. Because it's in your face.
I almost coughed up some coffee. all right. That's the on the tech front, I think. I can't think of anything else. It was, like I said, it was pretty much a slow week. So on to the world of music, I think. I think we should talk about the world of music.
Sure.
This week brought about a couple of interesting concerts, don't you think?
Yes. A couple.
A couple. So number one, I got dragged to, not dragged, but I was asked to join at the last minute and turned out to be pretty cool with Jamie D.
Elvis Costello and the Attractions.
At the Wiltern. In Los Angeles.
They did this neat thing where he had this sort of giant wheel of songs, like almost like a
looked like
a carnival wheel or like the Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. And, all different colors, and you know,
it had there was probably what 50 songs on there,
something like that.
And it just had different song titles, and then also sort of like
genres,
categories,
or just like name,
categories. Just like weird words that it would stop on, and when it said Cash, for example,
right,
and it stopped on that, and he sang a Johnny Cash song
and told the Johnny Cash story.
Yeah, and he, cool. By the way. Like, I don't know. He's got to be one of the best sort of stage banter guys.
Oh, he's great.
That there is. He's fascinating.
He's fun, and he just tells stories, and he's kind of weird. And
yeah. But great show. Highly unusual, just because what he would do is bring people up from the audience, and they would spin the wheel, and wherever it stopped, he would play that song.
And the person who spun the wheel would stay on stage.
And like sit at a little bar or get into this like go-go dancer's cage.
Yeah, and dance.
Yeah. It was pretty neat. I mean, like, it was sort of odd because it didn't have sort of like the flow that a concert normally does.
Right.
A set list that they've worked out. It was all sort of random. But it was neat. There was some great stuff. I particularly... liked the really quiet moments. He sounded really good. He did
what was the song where he just went totally acoustic, no mic, no amp?
It was a gospel song. He dedicated it to Levon Helm, who passed away, but at the time was dying.
Right.
Who he's been friends with for years.
It was incredible.
And it was just, it was super powerful. You could hear a pin drop in that place. It just, everyone got really quiet and he sang it without any amplification.
It was pretty amazing. It was pretty neat. Yeah, it was incredible.
Moving.
Yeah, very moving.
But it was a great show. Great show. Lots of fun. Just to haven't ever really been to a show that was like that.
Yeah. Just random and fun and quirky. What's her name? Vanessa Paradis.
Paradis.
Vanessa Paradis, Johnny Depp's longtime partner, came up and sang for a few songs, which was pretty cool. She sounded great.
Yeah.
She sounded great.
There were some great covers. There was he did No Particular Place to Go, Chuck Berry. He did Please Please Me by the Beatles. He did Cry 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 by Johnny Cash. He did Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood by the Animals. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
That might have been my favorite moment of the night, actually. He sang with this, I think, Peruvian or Chilean woman who had just amazing voice.
Who was amazing.
Voice. Yeah.
Amazing.
That was a really cool
part. And then at the end, who came out? His wife came out, right?
Yeah,
and
played, Diana Krall.
I'm blanking. Bengals? Was that?
Susanna Hoffs?
Yeah.
Was it two of the Bengals?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, that's funny.
Came out and just for singing on the stage, which was
fun. During What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding.
Yeah, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Which was towards the end.
His closer. That's his closer.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It was a cool, unique show. And
Monkey on the Merch.
And there was Monkey on the Merch.
Monkey on the Merch.
We walked in and the merch stand was right there, and there is this multicolored monkey with sunglasses right on the t-shirt. I mean, there was pretty much no conversation. Jamie and I looked at each other.
I
have to get that.
I always buy the monkey shirts. I don't know why. There's been a few of them. There was one I saw Robert Plant last year. He had Monkey on the Merch. I saw a White Stripes show.
That should be your blog, Monkey on the Merch.
A White Stripes show in like 2002 or 2003. They had Monkey on the Merch.
Monkey on the Merch.
And you like write it like a news. Yeah, Monkey on the Merch. Like monkeys on the news on the march.
Right, right. Like the old newsreels.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it, sir. So we went from the old to the very new. And on Thursday night saw Gautier with this other artist, Missy Higgins, Australian pop artist or singer songwriter, who opened for him. She was good.
Yeah, she was really good.
She had a really nice voice.
She was good. Yeah,
and like she was saying on her when she was like talking to the audience that she had hadn't done any music in 5 years or something.
Hmm.
You hadn't gotten there yet. But,
no, I was not.
But
there
she was telling the audience that she'd had some sort of existential crisis and just didn't perform music. And now she's this is her first album in 5 years and is coming back and doing a big US release and all that stuff. She was really good. I thought her music was great.
I saw one song and I enjoyed it. She was good.
And then we had Gautier. This was it took me a second to get that. So for those of you who don't know and have been living under a rock, Gautier has one of the...
He has the number one
song in the world. I mean, it's a huge...
it's a weird number one song because it's...
Sort is it called Somebody I Used to Know or Used to Know?
Someone I Used to
Someone
Know.
I used to know.
Somebody I Used to Know? I don't know. Yeah. I used to know what the title was.
Somebody I Used to Know.
It's a weird song as a number one song because it does, I think it sort of sounds like something from the late 80s or early 90s, almost a Peter Gabriel song or
It has a world music feel to it. But it doesn't, that's the thing, that song doesn't feel like... It has a little of this, but it doesn't feel like anything. It feels like its own thing to me.
Yeah. I think it's just his voice that reminds me of that period of time.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that this song, I think, has resonated kind of like Adele songs resonate because of the lyrics and the emotion in the song that you hear. Mm-hmm. I feel that's part of it. People are really connecting with the, not just the sound of it, but the meaning of it.
Yes.
And it's really powerful, I think. So anyway, his album's really interesting. If you haven't listened to it, it's kind of all over the place.
It is all over the place. That is a good description of it.
And I really enjoy it.
In fact, the first song utilizes the voice I was using earlier.
Yes, it does. he had a really visual show.
Really, really heavy on the visual stuff. I was saying the other day that I don't know that I've seen a show with that heavy of a visual element other than Radiohead or Peter Gabriel or U2 who all always have big visual And not even Radiohead so much. Peter Gabriel and U2 always have really heavy visual stuff.
Yeah. And his visuals were presented. He had a huge screen behind him.
I would say that for the most part, in my opinion, the visual stuff overpowered what he was doing on stage, because what he was doing was interesting. And I, most of the time, was paying attention to what was being projected.
Yeah. Do you think it would have been different if he hadn't had such a huge one big sheet projection behind him? If it had been a couple of smaller screens or something? Because like, I felt like that partially is what took away, because it was so big. And then there's like these just four musicians on the stage.
Yeah.
Like there was no levels to the stage. They were just stage level. Right, that's true. And that screen was massive behind them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like imagine seeing that same show at a smaller venue with a much smaller screen behind them, mm-hmm. and you're really close. It would be very. I think it would be a very different experience.
Like I saw a Julian Casablancas show last year.
Yeah, I saw that show.
Right, and that had a really. That was a really cool show with a neat visual element. But I don't think that took away from the band.
No,
and I would say that.
But that was also like he had a stage.
Doesn't either.
Like they have. Like I didn't feel like he had any staging. Like that. Like remember the Julian Casablancas thing? They had like two drummers, and like they were high up behind, and like.
And they had like bandstand podiums.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like there was a whole like. This, there was just them on the stage and this screen.
Right. Like they were playing in front of a drive-in movie theater.
That's totally what it was like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good description. That's exactly what it looked like.
But that being said, the visual stuff was great.
It was incredible.
It was specific to each song though. I don't know how much, playing around they can do as musicians.
Sure. It was very
there was a lot of
sync.
Yeah, like cartoon characters singing or mouthing at the same time as
agree.
Singing.
Agree. Very true. And, you know, first of all, his voice is incredible. The guy's got an amazing voice.
Yeah.
Like, just really big range.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he wails on the drums.
Yeah.
You know? And what I found, like, I mean, this isn't new, but I like the way that, I'll give a little backstory. So on his website, he's got this little 5-minute documentary on how he kind of made this album.
Uh-huh.
And I just found it so fascinating. They showed him creating his own synthesized music.
Mm-hmm.
So like he didn't just get a synthesizer and play the different synthesized instruments on it. He created each one and each note.
Yeah.
So like he would record an A from a specific instrument and digitize it. Then he would record a G on the same instrument, and he would record each note for the keyboard based on the instrument. So it wasn't just like the synthesizer upping the tone.
Yeah.
You know, so it's actually that. And he describes it as he's not recreating the sound of that instrument. He's creating a new sound.
Right.
For each instrument. But I thought it was just fascinating for somebody to do that. Like to take that much care and like really appreciate the instruments.
Yeah.
So much. I don't think you see that, you know, that often.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was cool to see that utilized live,
right?
With somebody actually playing quote unquote the synthesized music,
right?
So I thought that was really well, except for the end, which you you didn't really like the.
There was this like sax solo thing at the very end of the show where it was just a guy pressing a button, and I just didn't. I've never been a fan of keyboard horns. Like, they rarely sound good enough for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And this one in particular just sounded like, I don't know, like there was this like sort of dance hit maybe 2 years ago with like with a really bad synth sax.
How'd that sound?
Bam, 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 bam. I don't know. You know, you would know it if you heard it. But it always made me cringe, and that's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for the most part, I thought the sounds they were making were really interesting, but I just, that one in particular, just, I didn't care for.
Yeah. And you know what's something and you said you've seen this before, but I don't really, like, the way, when he was playing the synthesizer thing, he was, it would almost remind me of playing the, oh my God, what's that Beach Boys instrument? The
theremin.
Theremin. It reminded me of somebody playing the theremin, what he was doing a little bit. Like,
yeah,
where he would move his fingers up and around in circles, and it would create different noises. Depending on how he moved them on the pad,
yeah.
And I thought like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen lots of bands do stuff
right,
like that. The first person I really remember seeing it was at Coachella. It was Bjork. where they did this crazy, like, it was the first time I saw basically what is now, it's that sort of Microsoft thing they use at museums we talked about a couple weeks ago.
The Surface?
Yeah.
Or whatever, yeah.
So they used that, and the guy, one of the musicians just had a table like that, but it had all these weird shapes on it, and he would drag them around, and that's how he was creating the sound. It was just, it was sort of like mind-blowing at the time.
Right, right. It's cool. I mean, I really loved the show. It's not for everybody, but I don't know. I just was really into it,
especially one of our friends.
Right, he did not like that show. I guess I was in such a different place because by the end of the show, I was so into it, and I turned around and I'm like, "That was great," and he's like, "No," he just gave me this dead-eyed, I hated that look, and it was really funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was not as big a fan as Scott, but I for the most part found it pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I guess also I had been watching been listening to the album a lot recently. Yeah. So I knew what I was getting into, I think, and maybe maybe Sam really hasn't gone through the album that much, as far as I know. You know, I'm not sure.
Right.
But I was like, I like that. All right, so we're going to move on to food for a second. I didn't really eat any place great this week.
Like, what have you become?
I know. I'm going to talk about this. I have a new kitchen appliance. I didn't talk about this yet, did I?
I don't think so.
Right?
No.
I hope. Well, if I did, I'm repeating myself because it was so good. I don't think I did. So there is this item made by Cuisinart called the Griddler. I love the Griddler. And I love the name of the Griddler.
Yeah, it's a good name.
So to describe it, it's similar to what like a George Foreman grill is. Do you have a Foreman grill?
Yes.
Yeah, I used to have them. But this is made by Cuisinart. And I like this a million times better.
So it's not affiliated with boxing in any...
Boxing? Oh, right, yeah. Not
George Foreman.
I'm like, who's a boxer?
George Foreman. The man that invented...
grilling?
The panini press was a boxer?
So what this is similar concept to something like George Foreman grill, except it's, you know, it's not like slanted down like the Foreman grill.
Mm-hmm.
It's two flat surfaces. Looks more like a panini press, I would say. Like that. The top swivels, so it adjusts to whatever meat, fish, or vegetables are on the flat surface on the bottom. So you press it down, and then it makes a flat connection on both sides. It has two removable griddles. I guess they're called. I don't know. What would you call those things?
Grills.
Yeah, plates, two removable grills. You know,
plates, heating plates
that have slats in them, similar to the George Foreman. Now, what I really like about these is, first of all, they're really lightweight, but the grooves are not as deep as like the George Foreman grill, because I always found that to be difficult to clean. Because there are really deep grooves in there. So this is a snap to clean. It's just so easy. I mean, it just takes a couple seconds to wash it off, and the whatever, anti-stick technology that they use. I don't know.
Teflon?
I don't think this is Teflon. It's something else, but whatever it is that they use works very well, and it heats up super fast. And there's no like temperature gauge. There's like three settings. There's like, you know, sear, low and high or something.
Huh.
And it comes with an instruction booklet that tells you for different types of, you know, things that you're cooking, what you can change. Now, another unique feature is the plates are reversible. So when you can turn them upside down, and then it's a flat griddle. So for pancakes or eggs,
your breakfast items.
Right. And you can have one of one and one of the other and lay it flat. And so then you have like, like the grooves on one side, and it's just sitting there flat. And then you can make multiple, you know, you can cook bacon on one side and eggs on the other, you know. So it's, and I just love this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also the cleaning, like the drip pan is underneath. And it drips out the back to this little drip pan, and you just pull it out from underneath and clean it. It's like not sitting out in front of it like the George Foreman grill.
Yeah.
So it's just clean and no hassle. It cooks for me. It cooks perfect. It cooks perfect. And I really enjoy having this thing. I mean, it's been online. There's been specials on it. It's a little more expensive than the Foreman grill, but it's dropped down to like $99. But I saw deals. I was able to buy it.
$99.
I was able to buy it for like $79. I found it online on Amazon or something. Really just really nice, simple, clean, great alternative to a Foreman grill. I would recommend this highly over that, and you know, just makes cooking at home a lot easier for me.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's my food this week. I know, I can't believe I didn't go to any. It's a rare week.
You were gonna talk about Lowry's last week.
Oh, Lowry's. Oh, should I talk about it? I can talk about it.
Sure.
Yeah, Lowry's is Lowry's. Oh, yeah, that's right. I you know what, I forgot about Lowry's.
Don't ever forget about Lowry's.
So Lowry's is a small chain of prime rib restaurants in the country. Are there any in Houston?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's not that many.
That's Texas, son.
Yeah,
we got all the steak we can handle. We don't need some Californian coming in telling us how to cook our steak. That is just un-American.
So Lowry's was originated in California. It was a California place, actually, which is funny. The one on La Cienega, or it's not the original one, but it's been there for a long time. I mean, I think since the original was in the 40s that it popped up. But this place is a very simple steak place. They have prime rib, and you can get different cuts of the prime rib. And then they have like a chicken dish, seafood, you know, lobster tail or whatever. Mm-hmm. And
old school.
And they did have a vegetarian dish of the day,
which was,
I don't know, nobody ordered it.
Cheesy. It was green beans and cheese, right, with pieces of bacon in it.
Yes, everything had bacon in it. Actually, everything did have bacon in it.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, you know, I got a prime rib, medium rare, and it was delicious. I don't know.
Did you have horseradish?
There was some horseradish. Also, the Lowry's seasoning salt is on all of the tables, mm-hmm. Because that is obviously where it came from.
Right.
So you sprinkle a little of that on there. It comes with sides of like, I got cream spinach, which has bacon in it. And there's cream corn, which I assume has bacon in it. You know, and you order, like all you do is order your entree and everything else comes with it. So you get a salad, and they do this cool, like spin the salad at your table thing, which is always fun.
What does that mean?
So like they put the greens in this bowl like a metal bowl that's in a thing of ice.
Yeah.
It's like ice, shaved ice almost. And they put the salad in, they spin the container,
thing.
And
so
it starts going real fast in the ice, spinning around, and they pour the dressing in.
Huh.
It's a fun, you know, it makes it for a fun, entertaining dinner thing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's like, and it's totally just like a
thousand.
Do they
spin the meat?
They do not spin the meat. But they carve it at the table.
Huh.
They have these big, you've never been?
I've never been.
Oh,
to
wow.
Lowry's.
That was interesting. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm from Texas.
I know. So. I'm sorry.
I don't need my California steak.
So, you know, they
only
serve
California is good for sushi and
lots of other things.
Salad.
This is the place for salad. I will tell you that. So, you know, I ordered my steak. I ate my steak. It was good. I always eat too much there.
Yeah,
as per usual, they carve the prime rib at your table, mm-hmm. which is always fun for us meat eaters out there.
Mm-hmm.
and what else did they have? So we had that; it was good. The steak was delish. And it comes with Oh my god, I'm blanking on the name.
Worcestershire.
No, what's like that pudding that gets served, but it's just bread. Basically, it's like a
bread pudding.
Not bread pudding. It's not a sweet dish. Something pudding. It's a like a
figgy pudding.
Not figgy.
Oh,
pudding.
Bring us some figgy pudding. God. Oh, blood pudding.
No. Oh, come on. I can't.
Jello pudding pops.
Yes, that's it. Actually, melted jello pudding. oh my god! Why can't I think?
Crouton
of what this
pudding.
Is? No.
Bacon pudding?
No.
A pudding on the ritz. What is that pudding?
Yorkshire pudding.
Yorkshire.
Yorkshire pudding. So every
what is Yorkshire pudding? It's just
it's
wet bread.
Yeah,
warm wet bread.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gross.
It's really good.
What
actually.
Is it savory? It has like
it's
sage
savory.
In it and that sort of.
Yeah,
stuff.
I don't remember exactly what is in it, but yeah, it's a savory bread type dish. So that comes with every meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got some sticky toffee pudding for dessert.
Wow! They should just call themselves the pudding. That's not. That wasn't funny.
No. No. But it was a good meal. You know, always fun to do.
Cream
every now
spinach
and then.
Is kind of like pudding too.
It was a very heavy meal.
Yeah, that sounds. I actually feel full hearing about it.
You know, it's a place that I can go maybe once every 5 years.
Right.
Like I just can't do it.
Sort of like the Fogo de Chao.
Yeah, exactly. You just can't do that. Yeah. Although the Fogo de Chao, the problem with that place is they have the most amazing salad bar ever. That salad bar is huge. And you always end up like, I always want to get so much at the salad bar.
Right.
Like, you could do that just as a meal because that salad bar is so huge.
But everyone's got to pay for that meat meal.
Right. Right. And so you're just like, I wonder if they let you do just the salad bar there at Fogo de Chao.
Maybe.
I bet you they do. You know, I'm curious. Anyway, so Lowry's always entertaining, always good. The food was good. You know, nothing was...
pudding and spun salad.
Yes. The spun... the spinning of the salad, I just love it for some reason.
It's,
like,
well,
I feel like a little kid.
It's like going to Benihana's.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like the shrimp flip into the hat.
And they hold the dressing up real high, and it just like, you know, goes right down in the bowl and just spins around. And it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was my dining experience of last week,
a
week from today. In the future, I will eat Lowry's. In the future,
prime rib
rules
served.
The world.
Salad is spun at your table. And you are forced to eat Yorkshire pudding.
Ta-da! I don't know. Anything on you for the food front?
No.
No.
Nothing.
Nope.
I've been eating a lot of chopped salads. They're delicious.
Chopped salads are delicious. I have to agree. I like me a chopped salad. All right. So that's what we got. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Check us out all over the web. As I repeat my mantra, techbacon.net, iTunes, Stitcher. You can pull it up on your BlackBerry and your iPhone and your Android phone and your everywhere phone and your internets and blah, blah, blah. You can check out our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter at ScottyG7. And
I will not give out my information.
No, it's
BSTRDMONKEY.
And you can follow Mr. JPD on there. That, I think, is all I got. I'm Scott.
I'm not telling you my name.
Thanks for listening.